I know. Maybe it'll be too much for people to handle.
Half an hour before the park opened, Haley and Claire had gotten to work early and were down in Games 3 by Scale Africa.
We wanted to set out the most prizes that we could, make the piles extravagant, do a lot of flash, and that takes a lot of time. So we came out here early.
So just describe what we're looking at. There's a pyramid here of...
Turtles, and there's pandas, lions. There's going to be one of tigers.
Each pyramid has over 100 stuffed animals in it, which is bigger than I think you're probably imagining it. It's like nearly waist high. And so there are four big pastel-colored piles of plush toys right in the middle of the walkway, looking so, so easy to win. Basically...
Every prize we've got.
Every prize we got, yeah.
We're throwing it out here.
We're going big or go home. We really want to win.
We brought in streamers, balloons, energy drinks. We got a whole bunch of energy drinks. We got a whole bunch of Gatorade. We brought in food for everyone.
Everyone stays energized, get pumped up for the whole day. We really want to win. We lost death match, a very painful battle.
Years ago, I was lead of Games 3. This was my section.
Cole gets just as excited as the kids do when you get him talking about all the fun things that he did back when he was Haley and Claire's age, working here, running Games 3. His team would dress as pirates for the guessing game.
And they'd be out at the scale and they'd do guessing pirates. Gar, your age be, gar, you know, stuff like that. 2004 came around, we dominated. We beat everyone. It was awesome.
It is still so alive for him. They dominated in 2004 by tricking out one of the games with music and all kinds of commotion and turning it into a party, doubling its take for the day.
We brought my fog machine in from home because at the time I was in high school and I had a band. And people flocked to it. And we destroyed Games 2. We destroyed them that year. It was the happiest I've been because in 2003... we had gotten so close to winning, and I just kept on saying 2004 is the year. Games 3, we're bringing the Sweet 16 back, 2004. And we did. We won, and I was really happy.
What am I going to guess for you? I think that's your name.
Late morning, when I checked back at Games 3, the pyramids of plush toys looked pretty much exactly as big as they had earlier that morning. Things were slow. And to goose the business, one of the supervisors, Sarah, was standing on the roof of this little hut.
Guesses until I'm coming off the roof.
She's staying on the roof until she gets 100 guesses.
I'm here until I get 88 more guesses, and then I'm going to allow myself to take a bathroom break. So any of you guys walking by, if you guys want to come play my game, help me out, get me off this roof. It's only $5 to play. I can guess your age, weight, or birthday month.
This is a technique that I recognize from 1,000 public radio pledge drives, and it was working about as slowly for her as it works for us. Strangers just don't care if some girl on the roof gets to take a bathroom break.
I'm stuck here until I can get 88 more people to play. I mean, seriously? All you people don't want to help me out. Thanks. Thanks for the luck. You should come. I dare you guys to come feel these turtles. It sounds like a weird thing, but we really have the softest turtles in town. You should feel one. They're really soft.
After a while, Sarah switched technique and finally managed to wrestle up a crowd through the simple tactic of making a series of insanely terrible guesses. First, there is a dad who looks like he's 42 and, in fact, is 42. Sarah guessed as 25. Then a grandmother who was standing there with kids and grandkids. Sarah writes her guess for this woman's age on a whiteboard.
This could be really wrong. I get the feeling it's really wrong, but that's okay. We'll see. You guys like this guess, maybe? All right. Turn around, how old are you?
52.
I guess you're 37. It's sunglasses. Sunglasses really throw me off. But congratulations, you get to pick out any prize you want.
Later, Sarah privately confirmed for me that she did intentionally take a dive, which is fine with Cole because it turns out it doesn't matter if the kids guess right. The game costs $5 to play. The prizes cost less than $5. Sarah can be wrong with every single guess, and they'd still make a nice profit. In fact, it's good to lose because people carrying prizes around the park are a walking advertisement for all the games. Cole's journey from summertime employee like Sarah to full-time year-round boss happened in a couple of steps. He said, as a kind of nerdy kid in high school in a small town, it was nice to come to a place where his personality was rewarded.
I couldn't wait till the summer because when it was summertime, I get to come to World of Fun and work with people that are just like me and enjoy our whole summer together.
So after years of that, in his senior year at the University of Kansas at Lawrence, he got a phone call offering him the job of games manager, and he dropped out of school to take it.
It's probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. But I said, okay, this opportunity is probably only going to come along once in a lifetime.
As you'd imagine, it hasn't been such a popular decision with the family.
So, I mean, I have a full year left. I'm like one full year of college left. It comes up when you least expect it. It comes up when they, like, oh, I know you're working real hard, but when are you getting back to school? Or my grandmother, now before, you know, I pass on, you need to make sure that you've completed college. You know, my grandma all the time. And I get a lot from the girlfriend, too. When are you going to finish? Because she just graduated college.
This girlfriend and Cole were pretty serious. They just moved in together. They met in games back in 2006, though she moved on from games.
I get that all the time. She's like, we're not going to be together forever if you don't finish college. I get it a lot.
How often will it come up?
Once a week. Maybe once every 2 weeks, depending on the week. I don't know.
Lots of very accomplished people don't have college degrees.
I know.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. But Steve Jobs, he changed the world. You know, I'm just a lowly little games manager at a small mid-sized park in Kansas City.
Who wants to play some games?
By midday, down in Games 3, that is Dustin, who's wearing the full-body banana suit that Haley handmade for him, which looks amazing. But it is 94 degrees, which is sapping everybody's energy, and business is slow.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, you guys have a great day.
Though as the day wears on, people slowly migrate from the rides to the games. And by nightfall, when it cools off, the guys in Games 2 finally get Techno Ball working. Max and Oksan are covered from head to toe in glow lights. Cole and I round a corner together, and we see them in the distance, and there's a crowd of 36 people surrounding the game. It's fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, let's go look at Techno Ball. Look at this.
So it's 6 of your staff and
2-3 other guys all dancing.
In a big circle.
Yeah, 4 other guys all dancing in a big circle to techno music.
And how many people are actually playing?
0. Hey, Dominic! Hey, Dom!
That's Dominic, the team leader here at Games 2.
Oh, look, Dom's all like embarrassed. Hi, Dom.
What's up? How many people are playing the game, Dom? Charging a lot of attention.
But why aren't we turning that into gameplay?
Cole suggests maybe they should dance inside the game instead of on the walkway in front of the game so people would be pulled into play. Dom does not want to do this. And listen to what a good boss Cole is. He's firm, but he's very nice about it.
You're so close.
I know.
You're so close.
Did you see how much attention that just attracted?
It did. But then you didn't have anybody out here talking to them saying, hey, why aren't you playing the game?
I know. I was hoping that they would realize that.
No. They're not going to realize that. You know that. And better than anyone, you should know that. They're not going to just be like, oh. It looks fine. I mean, all the lights. I mean, it's... I'm not going to deny the awesomeness, but I am going to say that...
No more dance parties.
I really think the dance parties are not going to help you win.
I walk down to check on Games 3. It is 10:30 at night. Claire has been here for 13 hours since I saw her setting up pyramids of plush before the gates opened to the park. Those pyramids were now raggedy piles, maybe half their original size, which means that they did great. They got lots of people to play. They'd probably given away 500 prizes for wrong guesses. And Claire has had exactly the kind of day that Cole wants for all the kids. Did you have fun today?
Yes, I had a lot of fun. I had no idea what time it was until about 20 minutes ago when I checked. It just didn't occur to me that I needed to check the time.
Because it was going by so fast?
Yeah.
When did you take your first break today?
I haven't taken a break.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of used to it.
This is Claire's third year here. She's 18, going to Missouri State in the fall to study nursing. And she tells me what a lot of kids here tell me. She wouldn't keep coming back to work at Worlds of Fun, if not for Cole.
Definitely not. I don't think any other boss would do, like, the rally days, the death match, the Sweet 16, the toss the boss, just all the fun stuff that we do that keeps us going through the season and just keeps this job exciting every day.
Sam, one of the leaders for Games 4, has been here for 3 summers, and he also says the Cole is the reason that he keeps coming back.
Honestly, no one else could do a better job. He was made to do this.
It's funny, like, watching him do something like sing a goofy song for you guys in the morning. You can imagine high school students and college students sort of rolling their eyes at somebody doing that, but nobody does.
No, it's weird. It's almost like that's the thing to do. Whatever Cole does is the thing to be doing at that moment. And we just all feel like that was the right move.
Do you remember what it was like the first time you saw one of his videos?
I do. I remember seeing it, and I was like, that's my boss, and he just made that video. And it was so cool, because I went and even showed some of my friends. They're all like, who's this guy? It's like, that's my boss.
That's so weird, because a lot of people would say, well, it's an amusement park. You know, you're great at working at an amusement park.
That doesn't mean, by the way, that he is seen by his bosses as some kind of superstar. He gets respect, sure. Everybody likes him. His immediate boss, Matt, thinks that there is nobody better at games in any of the 11 amusement parks owned by their parent company, Cedar Fair. But Cole is working at one of the smallest of the 11 parks. So other games managers at bigger parks bring in way more money than Cole does. And games, in the grand scheme of things, is actually the smallest revenue producer at most amusement parks. The biggest money at an amusement park comes from ticket sales. Then there's food. Everybody buys food. Then merch. And then, bringing up the rear, is games. What Cole does has less effect on the company's bottom line than lots of people in the company. And as much as Cole loves this job, he can't help but wonder, how long can a person do this job?
So the one thing that I always say is, I mean, I'm 25 now. I started here when I was 14. And the weird thing is that I'm getting older, but everybody else in the department staying the same age.
Right, I'm going to stop the tape right there. Yes, I know. Matthew McConaughey, Dazed and Confused. Cole has seen the film too.
But the thing I'm wondering for you is, do you feel like somehow accidentally in this job you got stuck in high school? You got stuck at 15. Like, there's a part of you where you're still back there.
I like working out in the park with the kids. Absolutely. 100%.
The goofball part.
The goofball part.
The part where you get to act their age instead of your age.
Yes. Does that make me sound bad? I mean, I'm still a manager. I'm still overseeing 100 people that work for me, you know. But at the same time, you know, 10 years from now, I mean, I don't think I can still be a goofball. I think that just kind of get creepy. You know? I mean, you're 35 and you work with a bunch of high schoolers and a game. Is that creepy? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Do you worry that you'll never be happier in any job than you are in this one?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's a weird fate, to know that you're in the best job you may ever have at 25. Especially when it's a job that you know in your heart that can't last. Okay, so we first broadcast this story back in 2011. Cole is now solidly in his 30s. He is 38 years old. He left his job at Worlds of Fun years ago, worked for a while in sales at a toy company, gave some motivational talks about being a boss at an amusement park. These days he trains salespeople at a tech company where he sometimes plays the guitar at work in business meetings. Also, he's a dad, which he loves, really loves. He's still crazy about amusement parks, takes his wife to ride roller coasters when they go on vacation, and he actually helped set up an alumni association for his old staff at the games department at Worlds of Fun, worked out a deal with the amusement park to allow old games kids to go back to the park and work a shift in games, relive the glory. They just held a staff reunion 2 weeks ago. Well, coming up, carnies float in the air, scary things happen on rides, and bold step forward for paintball targets everywhere. Our hour of amusement parks continues in a minute. From Chicago Public Radio, when our program continues.
Support for This American Life on KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, presenting the Summer Reading Challenge now through August 17th with a focus on academic preparation for kids and teens and mental health for adults. Details at lplks.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 90.3 in Chanute. This week on KPR Presents, from Martha Washington to Dr. Jill Biden, the changing role of First Lady. Diana Carlin is the author of not one, but two new books about the office of First Lady. She joins Kay McIntyre for KPR Presents, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening on Kansas Public Radio.
This American Life, I'm Ira Glass. Each week on our show, of course, we choose a theme, bring you different kinds of stories on that theme. Today's show, amusement parks. It's July. It's hot. We wanted to go someplace fun here on the radio. We've arrived at Act 2 of our program, Act 2, Great Adventures. Well, we asked you, our listeners, to call in with your amusement park stories. Nearly 300 of you did. And one of our producers, Jane Marie, listened to all of those voicemail messages. She joins me now. Hey, Jane.
Hey.
So, Jane, trends, patterns, what can you tell me?
Carnies.
Oh.
Yeah. There's like creepy carnies and hot carnies and carnies that people married. And a bunch of people called and told stories about carnies, like making the ride go too fast or keeping them on the ride too
demonic
long.
Demonic carnies. Okay, yeah.
These two calls that I'm going to play are from Barry Silver and Penny Delaney Coffrin. And they had the same exact like crazy carny story, only they happened years apart and in different cities. But it's fun to imagine they're talking about the same guy.
My amusement park story involves the Gravitron.
Yeah. Oh, let me interrupt real quick, because the Gravitron, that's the one where it's a cylinder and you climb in it and you put your back up against the inside wall of the cylinder.
Right, and it spins around and the floor drops out.
Yep, and you're like stuck to the wall.
There was a carny there and he was waving us all in and we had purchased tickets, and I guess our first sign that this was going to be an interesting ride was when he said no to the tickets we offered him and just kind of waved us in.
I was working for the World of Wonder Sideshow. Last month, I had made friends with the carny who was running the Gravitron.
He started up the ride, and the music was blaring, and I remember it was Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood.
Anyway, he gave me a private showing where I'm riding inside this thing. The music's blasting.
And the lights were going, and we were spinning around in the centrifugal force was pushing us up against the wall. And the next thing I know, this carny steps out from behind his operating box and comes out into the centrifuge and proceeds to pull himself up and place his feet on the spinning wall and walk over the rider step by step with his body completely horizontal to the earth.
He's standing on the wall next to me, surfing inside of the Gravitron. That's right, the ride operator left the control panel to start surfing the inside, parallel to the ground.
The force was holding his feet against the wall, and it was just the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Best experience of my life.
So I know, because you told me right before we sat down, that a lot of the stories that people called in to tell were love stories.
Tons of love stories or like stories. You know, like summer flings, summer romances, first kisses. There were people that lost their virginity on rides.
Ew.
Don't do that. But then there were the proposals. There were a lot of people proposing at amusement parks, some more successfully than others.
My name is Natasha, and in May, my boyfriend proposed to me on a roller coaster. We were on a Viper. He said, "Will you marry me?" And he popped open the ring box, and the ring fell out of the box and down into the pits of Viper. It was pretty awful. I started trying to get the ride operator to stop the car. The director of operations at the park assembled a team of about 20 people, and they searched for the ring for hours, and that happened in May. So the kicker here is that that ring was actually my grandmother's ring, and they're actually still searching for it. But we have yet to find it.
So I called Natasha actually to see if they'd found it yet, and she said that the park had called her recently and said they found a ring, but it wasn't hers. It was another engagement ring.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's good to know that, my dummy.
Right. And then we got a bunch of scary calls. So this is a scary one. Wendy in Austin, Texas, she and her friend went to the fair, and they were getting on a roller coaster. It was like one of those medium-sized fair roller coasters where there's one big drop and then a loop-de-loop. And but as she was getting on, she was like futzing around with her purse.
I reached up to pull the harness down over me, and it locked above my head. And I have nothing holding me into the roller coaster. So I look over in horror as the carny guy with that was running the ride looks at me, and he pushes the button to go, and the thing starts to go, and I'm telling him, wait, stop, I don't have my seatbelt on.
But he doesn't stop. So right. I know. So now she's like going up the hill. So she said she turned to her friend, and she just decided to wrap her arms and legs around her friend. I know. And so they go down the hill, and then they go through the loop-de-loop.
So she's upside down?
I know, just like hanging onto her friend.
As tight as I can to stay inside the ride. And what really got scary is we whipped around the corners. I almost got thrown out, but I didn't.
She said that she had whiplash for a week and that she was too young to realize that she probably could have sued them.
Hmm.
So there's another story from this woman, Susan. Her three-year-old wanted to go to the fair, but it was super late at night. And so they humored him and they were like, sure, we'll take you. But they figured he would fall asleep on the way there. But he didn't. He stayed awake.
So I said, okay, I'll take you in for one ride on the Ferris wheel and then we'll go back to the car. My husband didn't even put his shoes on because we didn't think he'd make it there. So we took him to the Ferris wheel and he kept pointing to the scrambler saying that he wanted to go on the scrambler. And I said, no. And when we got off the ride, I held the chain for the person behind me to come out, and when I turned back around, he was gone. We could not find him anywhere. And as we're looking around, and we have a whole group looking for this little three-year-old boy, I looked up, and he was inside the gate of the scrambler, and the scrambler was going. His head was just at the car level, and the carny woman stopped the ride, and she stopped it in time. She walked over, picked him up, handed him to me. She didn't say a word. And I took him. And he said, she was really scary. And I said, that woman was an angel. And so I will never badmouth a carny again.
I'm glad we finally have some unequivocally pro-carny material in this story.
Me too.
Hi. My amusement park story takes place in Disneyland, and I was really excited to go on the haunted house ride. I forget what it's called. Anyways, the door opens and you are let into a room, and the door opens and it's a dark empty room, and there is a person, a little person. He was in the room already, and I thought it was part of the haunted house, so I started screaming, and he was looking at me, and because I was screaming, he was screaming at me. We were both screaming at each other, and then we both realized that it was not part of the haunted house, and that we were just waiting in line with each other, and we pretended like nothing happened.
And finally, there were the puke stories.
Oh, a lot of people called about puke.
Mm-hmm.
And is the story more than just I was on a ride and I puked?
Yeah, it's I was on a ride and I puked, or I was on a ride and I got puked on.
Well, I don't want to hear that. Was there any that had a twist? Was it a surprise plot twist?
The one that stands out for me is this lady was on that Ocean Motion ride, you know, that's like big boat that swings back and forth.
It basically just goes up and down.
Yeah,
up
just swings. Down, it's like a pendulum. And so she was up at the highest part of the boat, and she saw the guy on the other end of the boat start puking. And so then she was like swinging down at the puke.
Oh, no. And did she see the puke in midair? Like
slow motion. Coming towards her.
I could see in slow motion this line of vomit coming towards me.
And it hit her?
Yeah.
Ooh.
About 2 seconds later, it splattered the entire right side of my body.
There's nowhere to go. You can't get off the boat.
Jay Marie, she used to be a producer here. These days, she is the host of the podcast, The Dream. She has a book based on that show called Selling the Dream. Both of those are about large-scale, quintessentially American scams and the people who get caught up in them. Which brings us to Act Three. Act Three, what I didn't do on my summer vacation. You know, sometimes somebody ends up in an amusement park who really has no business there at all, who is not built to thrill at the thrills that the amusement park offers. As a teenager, Jonathan Goldstein spent a summer working at an amusement park, one that was situated right on the beach in Wildwood, New Jersey. It is your typical amusement park on the beach. There's a boardwalk, three wooden piers with roller coasters and a Ferris wheel and lots of dropped popcorn and hot dog buns for the seagulls to eat. It's been decades since Jonathan went to work at Wildwood, and he always wanted to go back, and so we sent him, along with one of our producers, Jonathan Manhevar. Quick note to listeners, this story has nothing explicit in it, but it does make reference to the existence of sex, as does this warning.
The smell of garbage is really bringing it all back in a rush. Maybe I could bring back a bag with some saltwater toffee.
After a whole religious rebirth that I won't go into here, the summer of my 16th year found me seriously considering yeshiva, rabbinical school, for the fall. My rabbi suggested I spend the summer at this religious camp just to give me a better idea of what was to come. But my best friend Evan said that summer camp was for suckers, and religious camp was even worse, and that if I came with him to Wildwood, he'd personally make sure I had a good time. "I'll get you ailed really good," he wrote, like a blood oath, in my 1986 high school yearbook. That's ailed as in the letter L. And getting ailed seemed important, especially if I was going to be giving my life over to the Torah, a text that placed greater emphasis on getting seed, as in circumcised. And so, I went to Wildwood. And now I was back.
How close did you live to the pier?
I mean, as you've seen getting here, my sense of direction isn't my forte. Man, it's like the whole summer I was just like floating around in like a jar of formaldehyde.
The plan was to go down and get jobs. It was what a lot of teenagers in my town did. Evan's older brother had done it years earlier and had arranged a job for Evan, handing out darts to patsies eager to pop balloons on the boardwalk. And I was supposed to get a job, too. But on our fourth night there, still without work, I sat on the edge of my bed and felt that sense of being a failure. This feeling would eventually become a staple in my life, something I'd grow comfortable with, in bars, gyms, offices, and bedrooms. But just then, the feeling was strange and new, and I didn't quite know what to do with it. We lived in a co-ed boarding house run by a woman with a face like a clenched fist named Mrs. D. I spent my days hanging out at Evan's balloon stand, where his boss finally became so tired of having me around that he pulled some strings to get me a job working as a change boy at an arcade. If you walked down the boardwalk, there was a point where it looked like the fun had come to an end. My arcade was just a few yards past that.
Do you remember where on the pier
you were? That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to, like, I think... I mean, if anything, maybe that little shack right over there was the arcade where there's a roller coaster going over it now. It's sort of like the little house that Alvie Singer grew up in Annie Hall.
You've still got pizza parlors, games with unwinnable prizes, and the vague threat of violence about to erupt. In other words, Wildwood hadn't changed much. Back then, everything looked like 1986. Now, 1987. Though, as it turns out, the arcade I worked at is long gone. Even at the time, all the other arcades were carpeted and air-conditioned, but mine was like an outhouse with all the oldest, skankiest games, all their joysticks having had the joy jerked right out of them years earlier. On the 4th of July, I remember watching the fireworks through a little crack in the wall, right above the Donkey Kong machine. I felt like a young Tony Montana just having come to America. Except the only person I wanted to kill was myself. Being a human change machine is just one of the jobs that seems only to exist on the boardwalk. Like the guy who's paid to dance in front of the t-shirt shop to draw customers. Or the girl who blows bubbles all day outside a souvenir store.
Yes, that's my job. I take money from them.
That's your whole job, is just blowing bubbles?
Not only. And shine with laser.
Shine a laser in people's eyes?
No, of course.
The bubble girl tells me she is from Bulgaria. The Bulgarian bubble girl is very young looking, like first time away from home young. And as she explains to me her work responsibilities, she is approached by a man who turns out to be her boss. He plants a big kiss on her cheek, as though marking his territory.
Is it a good summer?
It's all right. It's all right. This boardwalk's getting bad. At nighttime, this boardwalk is bad.
Like, bad bites.
And people stabbing people and shooting people, yeah. You go two blocks off the boardwalk, there was a shooting and stabbing the other day.
Holy cow.
It's worse under the boardwalk, yeah.
What goes on under the boardwalk?
Oh, sex and drugs. I park underneath my store and you can see underneath it here. And you catch them all the time down under there. They go right down them steps and right underneath the boardwalk.
What? Wow.
Sex under the boardwalk.
Cool.
Me and you.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to do it?
No.
Yep. All right. See you later. Oh, boy. That was creepy.
My old boss, Mike, was creepy, too. Mike always wore sunglasses and a red, skin-tight bathing suit that, for some reason I could never quite fathom, always appeared to be wet. My friend Evan said that it was unwholesome how Mike's arms were so short. He's like a T-Rex, Evan said. The first time Mike paid me, he had to get all crooked to get his wallet out. Mike was an alcoholic, and he left me to open and close the place most of the time. Sometimes he would stagger in the middle of the afternoon, and lay down on the lopsided pool table. Once comfortably spread out, he'd ask me to cover him from head to toe with the stuffed animals for skee ball, so he could sleep without getting caught by the old woman who ran the pier. Every time I put Mike to bed, I became more and more convinced that yeshiva was the place for me. When he wasn't goofing off drunk, Mike was furthering Evan's work of trying to get me ill'd. He would invite Nancy, the 19-year-old redhead who ran the water squirt game next door, over, so he could tell her about how she should de-virginalize me. Nancy was a Jersey girl who wore low-backed shirts that showed off a large, complicated dragon tattoo. She told me it was a Chinese wind god and that an old biker boyfriend had given it to her. It started at her neck and slithered all the way down into her pants to blow across the tundra. In the afternoon, when business was slow, Nancy would come by and tell me about how Mike had just been over, pleading on my behalf, and how she tried to explain to him that we was just friends, right? Oh yeah, I'd say, swallowing back the hard lump of foul-tasting virgin tears congealing in my throat. The best.
Watch the tram car, please.
Listen to this music. Don't you feel like you're going to round like the corner and you're going to see like Joe Pesci beating someone to death with a baseball bat? That's all I can think about. It's a song called Wildwood Days. Do you hear it? Wildwood Days and Wildwood Nights.
Yeah. My producer Jonathan and I walk down the boardwalk where we discover what's got to be the very worst job in Wildwood.
Most of the stuff I do is just off the top of my head. It's whatever I can think of on the spot.
This is Dutz Bonus Jr. The sounds you hear are of people shooting at him with guns. Dutz Bonus Jr. is a human paintball target. He shuffles back and forth and eggs on the crowd while being splattered like a Jackson Pollock canvas.
You know, I'll put it as blunt as I can, because this is how it is on my tax forms, too. I'm an entertainer. Not the dancer kind, but basically I get suited up in a hockey gear and I get shot at all night.
And that doesn't start to get to you a little bit? Do you dream about it?
Nah. I love it. It's entertaining to me because this is one of the jobs that I can be as creative as I want to be. And you know, it's just like, you know, web page design. You know, when you go in, you can do whatever you want.
Before Dutz, human paintball targets simply shuffled from side to side holding a shield. Then one day, Dutz dropped his shield and began to moonwalk. Soldier Boy was to follow. He also invented shadow boxing at the paintballs and running towards the shooters. Dutz is protected by a suit that looks like what you'd come up with if you tried to build a Michelin Man costume out of moist newspaper and epoxy glue.
So people are armed with paintball guns?
Yep, that we provide. Because a lot of people try to, you know, they want to bring their own, but we don't allow that. It's just not going to happen.
So the suit that you wear protects you from any pain?
For the most part, yeah. There's some weak spots, but, you know, I can't say where the weak spots are, because then a lot of people will find out, and then, you know, and then it kind of becomes a little dangerous, you know.
Before agreeing to talk with me, Dutz wanted to finish his break with the woman who works next door at the old-timey photo place. As it turns out, she's his wife, who we met on this very boardwalk. Dutz might spend his day getting fired at in a cage, but at least on his time off, he has someone to talk to, someone with whom to share the secret weak spots in his armor. Back when I lived there, Wildwood had this reputation for being a big party town. People were supposed to be scoring like nuts on the boardwalk every night, and actually they were. The only real action I got that summer, though, was in the form of a single kiss. I later referred to it as the kiss that ruined my summer. It happened while I was out walking on the boardwalk late one night. I saw a group of older girls, maybe in their early 20s, coming toward me. One of them, a little ahead of the others, was sort of spinning with her arms stuck out and her long blonde hair all over the place. Just as she got right up close to me, she grabbed the back of my neck and put her lips right on mine. I remember as she pulled back, I spastically grabbed onto her wrist. I didn't want her to leave. Her friends had to pry my fingers off, one at a time, as she stood there smiling at me, all stoned and airy. That night, back at the boarding house, in our room, I spent the rest of the evening obsessing. As it might have been the last one I'd receive until I got married, that kiss pretty much felt like my swinging bachelorhood. In yeshiva, I'd be the mysterious one with a past. For the rest of the summer, I couldn't pass a woman on the boardwalk without thinking that we should somehow be meeting in a kiss, that that's how life should really be. It turned walking along the boardwalk into a relentless drizzle of small but horrible disappointments. I didn't know it then, but that summer would prove the best one I'd have as a teenager. Even though I was worked like an indentured servant, giving every penny of my earnings to Mrs. D, even though I made no friends, and even though I only made it to the beach but once, where I sat on a mildewy boarding house washcloth, exhausted and pale, that whole summer felt like some big fat vacation, just because I was 16 and away from my parents for the first time. When I got back home, I didn't end up going to yeshiva. I didn't bring home any pen pals, money, or happy romantic memories. But I did bring back a pair of black pants, covered in small white skulls. They were really baggy, and I had to wear them with 10-inch cuffs at the bottom. But when I showed up for my first day back at school, I thought I looked really punk rock. I thought, like anyone who'd never been ailed, that they were the pants of someone who got ailed all summer long.
Jonathan Goldstein is the host of the podcast Heavyweight. He and the team over there are hard at work on an 8th season of that show, coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of winners today?
Everybody wins.
Like a patter? What would you say to get a guy like me to come over?
I don't know if I would call you in. You don't look like the type of guy that would spend money here, you know? You get 3 shots for 5.
Was he saying that I'm too cool a customer, or was he saying you're too cheap a Jew?
You see, I went on the roller coaster last night when I was feeling bad. Down by the sea in Santa Cruz, and I was feeling sad. But we went down.
Well, the program was produced today by Jane Marie and me, with Ben Calhoun, Sarah Koenig, Jonathan Manhebar, Lisa Pollock, Robin Semien, Alyssa Shipp, and Nancy Updike. Senior producer for today's show is Julie Snyder. Production help on this rerun from Nora Gill, Henry Lawson, Catherine Raimondo, Stone Nelson, and Matt Tierney. Special thanks today to Bill Childs, Dave Altoff, Kim Martin, Jeff Potts, Dave Dickerson, Amy Silverman, Lindsay Young at Maury's Pier in Wildwood, New Jersey. Original music scoring in Act One of our show by Dave Hill, featuring Dave Hill on guitar. Our website, thisamericanlife.com. This American Life is delivered to public radio stations by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Support for This American Life comes from Odoo. Odoo is an all-in-one management software built to enhance the efficiency of your entire business from anywhere in the world. More information at odoo.com/TAL. That's odoo.com/TAL. And for Progressive Insurance, from car insurance quotes to buying, Progressive Insurance offers a variety of ways to stay protected. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Thanks as always to our program's co-founder, Mr. Tori Malatia, whose turtle breeding experiments are finally paying off.
I dare you guys to come feel these turtles. It sounds like a weird thing, but we really have the softest turtles in town. You should feel one. They're really soft.
I'm Ira Glass. Back next week with more stories of This American Life. By the water you made me feel more as I ought to. Whoa, whoa, yes, you knocked me out of my head.
It's your place to find NPR News from the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City. KANQ Chanute. Also K210CR in Atchison and K258BT in Manhattan. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Because you care, donate to KPR today. For unbiased, in-depth news, for inspiration and laughs, for thoughtful conversations, and for a more informed life. You're an essential part of the equation. Your contribution equals unparalleled local coverage, captivating storytelling, and a window to the world. Support now at kansaspublicradio.org. Raise your hand, stand up, count yourself in, and make a difference today. NPR News is next. Trail Mix on deck with your host, Bob McWilliams.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Biden is ramping up his reelection campaign amid growing calls for him to withdraw from the race. Biden has been seeking to shift the narrative away from his weak debate performance against former President Donald Trump. NPR's Ron Elving reports it's unclear whether Biden's interview with ABC News last night moved the needle with voters and some Democrats who are skeptical of his ability to serve a second term in office.
Biden's voice last night still did not sound full strength. He said again he had been sick for the debate, and he's been out a lot speaking and using that voice on the stump. So all this may be highly subjective, but after all, we are talking about the impression for voters, not political scientists.
That's NPR's Ron Elving reporting. Voters in France will head to the polls tomorrow in the second round of a parliamentary election that's being described as the struggle for the soul of the nation. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports the country's far-right party has never come so close to claiming power.
Polls show the far right will probably not get an absolute majority. That's at least 289 seats. But the National Rally Party of Marine Le Pen and its young star Jordan Bardella, speaking here to a crowd, will likely get a relative majority and be the biggest voting bloc in the French parliament for the first time in history. Opponents say that's shocking in a country that's always banded together to block this far-right party. Writers, actors, and sports stars have been speaking out. This week, a group of 20 rappers released an anti-National Rally song in an effort to persuade young people to get out and vote against them. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Emergency crews are working to contain a fast-moving wildfire that's burning about 100 miles north of Sacramento, California. Ava Norgrove from North State Public Radio reports extreme heat is helping to fuel the blaze.
The Thompson Fire has forced the evacuation of thousands of Butte County residents since Tuesday morning. At least 25 buildings have been destroyed, and the number could go up as officials continue to assess damages. CAL FIRE reports 4,000 more homes are currently threatened by the fire.
What that means is that that's the number of homes, residences that are within the evacuation zone areas.
Rick Carhart is the public information officer for the Butte County Fire Department.
This fire is not out by any stretch of the imagination. There's not a lot of fire activity to be seen. There's not a lot of smoke in the air. There's not a lot of active flames, but there is still potential.
Going into this weekend, he says the biggest challenge for firefighters is the extreme heat. For NPR News, I'm Ava Norgrove in Chico.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies solve food from employee meal plans to online staffing. With corporate accounts, nationwide restaurant coverage, and payment by invoice, EasyCater.com. Here's Chris Smither to open today's Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio.
Let me tell you about Linda Lou. She had a big head, she slept with her hat on. She had a big butt too. She kept me home with a big heart. She went away, I fell apart, I'm all alone. Yeah, I'm on my own. Let me tell you about Betty Jean. She had a filthy mind. She worked at the car wash, but she could not come clean. Long as I live, I'm gonna love her to death. She said she'd be back, I don't hold my breath. I'm all alone. Yeah, I'm on my own. I don't know why they get a look in their eye and they leave me. They think I don't know what's going on, but they leave me. I know they're gone. Let me tell you about Billy Ray. She told me she needed a man, money's nothing, that's all she'd say. I couldn't get her to say I do, now she's gone, the money too, I'm on my own. Yeah, I'm on my own. I'm gonna get me a better one, one with one name who comes when I call her. We'll have a lot of fun. Be glad to see me when I get home. She'll wag a tail when I bring her bones. I ain't alone, never on my own. We'll sit together in the evening. We'll stick together. We'll never.
Chris Smither with Get a Better One to open today's Trail Mix on KPR, his album from 25 years ago called Drive You Home Again. Good afternoon. Welcome to Trail Mix. I'm your host, Bob McWilliams, and about 10-minute songs from a new one from Alice Wallace, a song from the new Will Kimbrough album on the way as well before too long. And Tony Furtado Up next from his album Roll My Blues Away that came out in 1997, in which he plays both banjo and a lot of a slide and other guitars as well. But he sticks to banjo on this one because he has Kelly Joe Phelps to come in for the laptop slide guitar and vocals. Todd Phillips, the bassist, Aaron Johnston, the drummer. Kind of an extended jam piece from Tony Furtado called Boats Up the River here on KPR.
let the losing overtake me. Rock on away from there.
Tony Furtado's banjo playing on Boats Up the River here on Kansas Public Radio. That is from his 1997 album, Roll My Blues Away, with the singing and laptop slide guitar of the late Kelly Joe Phelps featured there with Tony Furtado. We've got new music from singer-songwriter Alice Wallace, a woman who made her mark at country music in California, been in Nashville a few years ago, and we're going to hear some of her powerful songs from her new album next. And speaking of new albums, we'll hear from the Texas singer-songwriter Heather Little in about 12 minutes. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from Mastery Music in Lawrence, serving the world's musicians and selecting, appraising, and repairing fine acoustic and electric instruments, amplifiers, PA systems, and accessories on the web at masterymusic.com. Well, here's Alice Wallace, her new album called Here I Am, and a song called I Was Wrong, for you on Kansas Public Radio.
Maybe I never really believed you would love me. Maybe I never thought that you'd be the one. Maybe I always knew that you'd break me into, but God, I hoped I was wrong. Maybe I never really trusted your touches, the way you'd stop me just to say I was so beautiful.
the cliff. As if the rocks down below won't hurt, but I know one day I'll feel all of it, and I want it so bad to believe that I found him, the man that I've seen every night in my dreams, the one I always knew would look just like you. God, I was wrong. He was a looker with a damn fine two-step. No cream, no sugar, a man of simple taste, but a hard nut to crack. He may not be what she needs, but a 3-minute song could change everything. As the music plays, he takes her hand, they twirl and sway waves on the sand. It's the only way he'll ever let a woman close. There's no time to think about what comes next or where they'll be when this song ends. She's always been the kind to take it slow, but wherever he leaves, she'll wasn't looking to find a fabled man, and she's been broken by every charming face that took hers in his hands. The dance, the mood, the man, they've all been wrong. She only knows the steps when she's in his arms. Takes her hand, they twirl and sway like waves on sand. It's the only way he'll ever let a woman close. There's no time to think about what comes next or where they'll be when this song ends. She's always been the kind to take it slow, but wherever whirl and sway like waves on sand. It's the only way he'll ever let a woman close. There's no time to think about what comes next or where they'll be when this song ends. She's always been the kind to take it slow, but wherever he leaves, she'll have to close and trust her feet wherever he leads.
singer-songwriter Alice Wallace from her new album, Here I Am. We heard I Was Wrong. And then when this song ends for you here on Kansas Public Radio's Trail Mix, we're going to go from when this song's into a Will Kimbrough song called When This Is All Over. Will Kimbrough here on KPR. Kimbrough with When This Is All Over for you here on KPR's Trail Mix. That is from his new album called For the Life of Me. In about 12 minutes, we'll hear a recent one from the New England singer-songwriter, Massachusetts, to be more precise, Lisa Bastoni, from her new album On the Water. In about 12-plus minutes here on KPR, we're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. You know, on KPR, news goes beyond headlines and sound bites. Instead, you get the background, the context, thoughtful reporting, analysis, and insightful commentary, along with the sound bites, of course. KPR brings you the information for you to decide on how to cast your ballot and so much more. Go to KansasPublicRadio.org and pledge your support for the news you depend on and for the music you depend on as well. Here's Texas singer-songwriter Heather Little, who's got a very large reputation in the Texas singing-songwriter community, but hasn't recorded very much. Well, now she's got the new album called By Now, and she has a friend called Patty Griffin to come help sing this one called Hands Like Mine, here on KPR.
I tried one on. Was a strange kind of heavy, sharp around the edges, and I swore to God I'd never take it off. And the boy that gave it to me promised me in the moon, but all he had was a dark ribbon long. It wasn't his fault. He didn't know the roller coaster we were on was a one-way ride straight to hell. And those were my white knuckles on the wheel the whole damn time. Should have been a sign. They don't make a ring for hands like mine. Well, I'm always
second time around, I was taking myself for home. And the love that I exude was not like I recall. When the old wears off, all you got is the truth. Wasn't his fault. Guess I thought time would leave him like he was. I had to tear apart all I built for my heart and my mind. Houses and all, I'll be fine. They don't make a ring for him. Can't keep a hope, nothing silver or gold. I made diamonds turn to gold. There's not one dream I haven't crushed. I break everything I ball, or a dynamite proof wall you just can't climb. You'll drive yourself crazy trying, 'cause they don't make a ring for hands like mine. Tried one on and I swore to God I take it all.
these skeletons.
Heather Little on KPR. We just heard her song Bones, and before that, Hands Like Mine. That first one had guest vocals from Patty Griffin joining Heather Little. With the duo of Tips and Obermuller up next in about 15 minutes, the brilliant guitar player of Ireland, Shane Hennessy. He's going to be in Kansas City this Wednesday night, part of the Waldo Folk Series. We'll tell you about that and hear some of Shane's guitar work coming your way. Here on Trail Mix, I'm your host, Bob McWilliams. This is the duo of Hillary Tips and Steve Obermuller. Tips and Obermuller, their album MacGuffin, and a song called All I Need, here on KPR.
Windows down, July blowing through your hair. Your singing dances by me in the air. You never know what the next word will carry with it, so dig on in. It's a great trip. It's a long road, honey, it's shorter than you think you know. Hold on to move on in a line no one can read. Yeah, you say I'm crazy, crooked smile. Savor the sunshine, remember this when I must leave. Yeah, you say I'm crazy, I call it happy. Got my melody in your harmony. There's a few things I want, but I got everything I need. I don't know nothing about how it's supposed to come around. You hang with me and you'll see this all turns out. You say I'm crazy, I call it happy. Your harmony. There's a few things I want, but I got everything I need here with you and me. It's a great trail. Yeah, it's a long.
And Obermuller here on KPR. The song All I Need opens up their recent release called MacGuffin. With Lisa Bastoni up next, guitarist Shane Hennessy and Irish flute player and singer Nuala Kennedy all on the way of this hour of Trail Mix. Support for Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio comes from Pines Garden and Market.
carrying a full line of farm-fresh local produce, including tomatoes, sweet corn, peaches, and other grades of Midwestern produce. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. Details at PinesGardenMarket.com. Well, let's hear one put out earlier this year. I guess anything that's come out this year is earlier this year, but this one put out early this year by Lisa Bastoni. It's called On the Water, and here's a song called Right Side of the River, Lisa Bastoni on Kansas Public Radio.
I swear I'll never go that way.
helped you find the floor. Now they're not working like they did. We've been waiting too long for the starlight. You won't get far taking at the bar.
Lisa Bastoni for you here on Kansas Public Radio with her new album this year, On the Water. From that, we heard Right Side of the River and Starlight. Lisa Kerrville, new folk winner a few years back. And this is her first full-length album since 2019, so it's great to have this from a very talented artist from Massachusetts, Lisa Bastoni, by the way. This one produced by a real legend of the Boston music scene, Sean Staples. With Lisa Bastoni. She mostly just tours in New England. Be great if she got out here sometime, wouldn't it? I think so. And it's great that Shane Hennessy is going to be out here again. He did a great show at the Lead Center Pavilion folk series there not too long ago, and he's set to play Wednesday night in Kansas City as part of the Waldo folk series. So I had picked out a piece of music from his album Rain Dance to share with you and to tell you about that Waldo folk concert this Wednesday night in the Waldo Pizza Tap Room. And I can still tell you about it, but I just checked a few minutes ago, and that concert is sold out. It's sold out at the Waldo Pizza Tap Room Wednesday night for Shane Hennessy. If you want to keep up to date on what's coming up at that Waldo Folk Series, just check out the website, waldofolk.com, waldofolk.com. Well, nonetheless, I'm still going to play some of the terrific guitar music of Shane Hennessy for you. And this is from his album from back in 2020 called Rain Dance, and one he calls Grove Road, guitarist Shane Hennessy here on Kansas Public Radio's Trail Mix. Thank you. Irish guitarist Shane Hennessy with Grove Road and Night Flying from his album Rain Dance here on KPR. From Ireland, here's Nuala Kennedy and Eamon O'Leary with the song Liffey Side here on KPR.
Some distant clouds of dawn o'er the moor are peeping past the sheiling where my love through the night is sleeping. From the feast side I call to you, dear love, don't ever be forlorn. When at noon the sun is high in the sky above you, every living thing that moves seems to say I love you. From Liffey's side I call to you, dear love, don't ever be forlorn.
Single out this year from Nuala Kennedy and Eamon O'Leary, the song Liffey Side here on Kansas Public Radio.
My name is Tony Cavan, and I'm the managing editor for Standards and Practices at NPR. I try and lead the conversation on newsroom ethics. Are we representing all viewpoints in a given story? Are we being fair to the people and institutions we're reporting on? These are just some of the questions we deal with every day before every story goes on the air. And we do it for you. This is NPR.
We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. little bluegrass early in the coming hour of Trail Mix. We'll hear from the new release by singer, fiddler, songwriter Becky Buller and the very fine bluegrass band Mile 12 from a few years ago, plus Daryl Scott's string band on the way. And we'll have some songs for the 4th of July coming up. I know it was 2 days ago, but it's still the holiday weekend. We'll hear Ellis Paul and we'll hear singer Renee Marie. That's on the way in this next hour of Trail Mix on KPR. First, this news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Another Democratic member of Congress is calling for President Biden to withdraw his re-election bid. Minnesota Congresswoman Angie Craig issued a statement today following the president's interview with ABC News last night. Clay Masters from Minnesota Public Radio reports.
U.S. Representative Angie Craig says she did not come to the decision lightly, but there is, quote, simply too much at stake to risk a second Donald Trump presidency. She says she has great respect for President Biden's decades of service, but calls on her party to put forward an open and transparent Democratic process to select a new nominee. This week, she told NPR News that her constituents don't like their options on the presidential ballot this year, but stopped short of calling on him to drop out following his debate performance. Craig is in a competitive House district in Minnesota. Craig joins a small but growing group of U.S. House members who've called on Biden to step down as the nominee. Biden said he would not do that several times Friday night during an interview on ABC. For NPR News, I'm Clay Masters in St. Paul.
The Kansas Supreme Court struck down two laws restricting abortion on Friday. Rose Collin of member station KMUW reports.
The laws banned a common second trimester abortion method and imposed extra regulations on doctors that provide abortions. Both had been blocked by lower courts. The court said both laws violated the Kansas Constitution, which it previously ruled protects abortion rights. Voters overwhelmingly rejected a Republican bid to change that in 2022. Anti-abortion groups denounced the opinions. A decision against providers would have been monumental because of the thousands of women who travel to Kansas each year for abortions. Kansas allows abortion until 22 weeks, and several other restrictions remain in effect. For NPR News, I'm Rose Conlin in Wichita.
Tropical Storm Beryl is expected to regain hurricane strength as it makes its way toward the coast of Texas. Emily Green reports the storm has killed at least 9 people since it began its destructive path earlier this week through the Caribbean.
Beryl battered Mexico's popular Yucatan Peninsula on Friday with 100-mile-per-hour winds and torrential rainfall. While it has since weakened into a tropical storm as it passes over the Gulf of Mexico, meteorologists predict Beryl will pick up strength again, fueled by warm water and limited wind shear. Meteorologists forecast the storm will slam South Texas near Corpus Christi around midday on Monday. The National Hurricane Center is warning of flash flooding, high winds, and even tornadoes. Texas's governor has issued severe weather disaster declarations for 40 counties in advance of Beryl's arrival, and residents in multiple counties are being asked to evacuate. For NPR News, I'm Emily Green.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 35,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public. Here's Becky Buller to open this hour of Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio.
I need a year of jubilee. No one pulling back on me. I wish my mind would let me be. I need a year of jubilee. Found my honey on a July night in her pink carnation moon. Poured my love into a glass and he drank it with a silver spoon. We could be, but something was lost.
cracker box stew. You take my hand, our youngest laughs and grabs my legs. We slow dance with attitude. The city screams but can't reach me. I'm listening for my jubilee. In front of me, and I can't drink and I can't eat. I look beyond what I can see, and there's my jubilee. I wish my mind would set me free. I need a year of jubilee.
Fiddler, singer, and songwriter Becky Buller in the title track to her new album, Jubilee, with special guest vocalist Aoife O'Donovan. And Aoife co-wrote that with Becky Buller. Bluegrass from the band Mile 12 next. In about 8 minutes, we'll hear Daryl Scott and his string band here on Kansas Public Radio. We're going to hear an album from Mile 12 that goes back to 2017 called Onwards. And the band loaded with talent and really fine young musicians scattered all throughout the band, including the fiddler there, Bronwyn Keith Hines, who is now the fiddler with the Sarah Jarrell's band. Let's hear Mile 12 from the album Onwards here on KPR.
Songs down the well. These doggone lowdown blues, I'm aching to lose. What I can't set on fire, I'm gonna sell.
Baby, mind your feet will touch the ground when we move to the sunny side of town.
Shack in town, I'll strike a match, let that sucker burn.
Baby, mine, it's paradise I found when we move to the sunny side of town.
It to you straight. We're leaving all these dark clouds far behind. Say goodbye to that frown when we hit the sunny side of town. I'm bound to have no worries on my mind.
Baby mine, I'll pick you for a crown when we move to the sunny side of town. When we move
on a long, lonesome highway, moving fast like the wind through the trees. Call me up, dear, and tell me you love me. Make it feel like you're right here with me. Do you think of me walking beside you? Do you see me when strangers pass by? Tell me true, do you miss me each morning? Do you wish I could hold you tonight? Traveling onwards through the night, gazing upwards to the light. Does it sound like my words lack emotion? In these handwritten letters I write, do you sense any lack of devotion from pen and page or from talking at night? Many hours of sleep I've lost here, turning over and over in bed, seeing ghosts of our days spent together, with your voice running loose in my head.
Traveling onwards through the night, gazing upwards to the light.
Oh, I promise I'll see you again, dear, and you'll want me beside you, I pray. There's still mountains and highways to travel, but till then, every night, dear, I'll say
I'll be coming home, but there's still a while to go. I'll be coming home, but there's still a while to go.
Terrific, pretty young band from Boston, Mile 12 here on KPR. We just heard the title track to their 2017 album, Onwards, and before that from the same album was Sunny Side of Town. Support for Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, locally owned with real people that answer your call, not a machine. Details and info at StonebackAppliance.com, where we've got your back. In about 10 minutes, we'll hear Ellis Paul and a song based on a true story from his own family history. We'll hear Ellis Paul with his song Five Alarm Fire on the 4th of July. Headed your way after we hear from the Daryl Scott String Band. Really fine album from Daryl with Bryn Davies on bass, Matt Flinner playing banjo and mandolin, and fiddler Shad Cobb. Daryl Scott, of course, great on many instruments, including guitar, banjo, and guitar, piano, and dobro. I'm sure he's a good banjo player, too, but not this time. We're going to hear a couple from the Daryl Scott String Band's album, Old Caneback Road, here on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
right outside my window, wanting me to start another day. Red bird right outside my window, red bird will up and fly away. Lead me to a world of darkness, lead me to a world of night. See, I was made for bound and determined, you were made for thin air and flight. I was made to mix the sand and gravel, I was made to take more than I need. And you were made to dance among the branches, you were made to seek the fallen sea. Leave me myself, I need no cheering. Leave me the ties that we bore. No, I'll toil and I'll scratch out in the clearing, and I'll have more time to see you in the falling snow. Scratching on the hand, and in my coat a flask of Irish whiskey, waving greenback dollars in my hand. Yeah, red bird right outside my window, she's telling me to start another day. Red bird right outside my window, red will up and fly away. Red bird will up and fly away. I gave it my best, then I left it alone.
to do it all right. Now, red bird, red bird, what do you see? Says I see a long wolf looking at me. Head in the clouds, but harmless as a tree. Good God, I guess he's doing all right. It's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. It's hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just as good? Sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's only me and the shadows that fill this room. Sometimes I'm falling, desperately calling and howling at the moon. Go through. It's neither black or white, nor just shades of blue. Now maybe I'll grow me a Fu Manchu. Oh, yeah, it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining where to close my eyes. It's hard times in the neighborhood, but why can every day be just this? Why is a great day to be alive? I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. It's hard times in the neighborhood, but why can every day be just this good?
That's Daryl Scott and his really wonderful song, It's a Great Day to Be Alive, and before that also a Daryl Scott song, Redbird, from the album that came out last fall, or late last summer, called Old Came Back Road, the Daryl Scott String Band on Kansas Public Radio. We're going to hear from Renee Marie from her album, Voice of My Beautiful Country, and her versions of My Country Tis of Thee and Lift Every Voice and Sing, as done to the melody of the Star-Spangled Banner. But right now, it's Ellis Paul here on KPR, his album, The Storyteller's Suitcase. And this is a story that comes right out of the family history of Ellis Paul. It's called Five Alarm Fire on the 4th of July here on KPR.
Grandpa's drinking whiskey on the sofa. The sofa's in the middle of a bonfire. Bottle rockets and lawn darts flying. Nobody died, but everyone was trying. It's my family reunion. It's the summer of 79. Ah, there ain't a party till the cops show up with four fire engines and volunteers and pickup trucks. Ah, the flames from the farmhouse, 30 feet high. It's a five-alarm fire on the 4th of July. Pails and kettles filled to the brim with wild strawberries. The screen door's cracking from kids running back to the woods. We told Grandma we found Uncle Terry's homegrown pot plants. She said she'd leave them in the will if we are good. Ah, there ain't a party till the cops show up with four fire engines and Vikings and pickup trucks.
The flames from the farmhouse are 40 feet high. It's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th of July. $40,000 kids climbing the apple trees half naked. Uncle Fred's underneath his car with an acetylene torch. They say it only takes a spark to get a party going. Well, the car caught fire, then the garage, then the whole damn porch. Ah, oh, there ain't a party till the cops show up with 4 fire engines and pirates and pickup trucks. Ah, oh, the flames from the farmhouse are 50 feet high. It's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th of July. Burgers flipping like horseshoes out on the back grill. We're trying to get a family photo taken, but 40 kids won't sit still. And Aunt Diane is flashing the camera with her boobies. Uncle Buck is rolling something he calls a monster doobie. There ain't a party till the cops show up with 4 fire engines and buccaneers and pickup trucks. Ah, the flames from the farmhouse are 100 feet high. It's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th of July. Seems like the whole town of Washburn, Maine came to the party. Kids were shaking Polaroids they took with the fireman. And yes, the farmhouse did burn down, but not the memories. And Aunt Diane, she sure did make herself a few new friends. Ah, there ain't a party till the cops show up with 4 fire engines and serial killers in pickup trucks. Ah, the flames from the farmhouse are 1,000 feet high. It's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th. Oh, it's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th of July. Strawberry shortcake, 3 stacks high. Smoke them, maybe count them, let the fireworks fly. It's a 5-alarm fire on the 4th of July. We are family. We are family.
And a song ripped from the pages of the Ellis Paul family history here on KPR 5 Alarm Fire on the 4th of July, the 2019 album from Ellis Paul called The Storyteller's Suitcase. In about 10 minutes, we're going to hear from the new album, My Black Country, the songs of Alice Randall, a black songwriter, music done by Rhiannon Giddens and others. We'll hear Rhiannon on a song that is really referring to one of the great stains on American history, the long-running planning of lynching, the long-running practice of lynching. We'll hear that from Rhiannon Giddens coming up after we hear from Renee Marie and her album, Voice of My Beautiful Country, with her version of My Country, Tis of Thee. That is next here on Chet Trail Mix. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org.
My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee we bow to sing.
land of the pilgrim's pride, same land where my forefathers died. Every mountainside, we're gonna let freedom ring. We're gonna let freedom ring. My native country, thee, oh, the land of the noble free, thy name, I love. I love thy rills, I love thy woods, and thy templed hills. Don't you know, my heart with rapture thrills, just like that above.
Protect us, Lord, by thy might. Great. every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring with a harmony. Of liberty, let our rejoicings rise high as the listening skies. Loud as the rolling sea, sing a song full of faith that the dark past helps. Sing a song full of hope that the present has.
That's Renee Marie, who sang the lyrics to Lift Every Voice and Sing and set them to the melody of the Star Spangled Banner, and before that, her version of My Country Tis of Thee. Renee put this album out in 2011, this album being Voice of My Beautiful Country, and she said, "This is my love song to America, pastiche of rhythms, melodies, dialects, and commentary that reflect one American's experience of growing up in this country. Like Albert Camus, I too should like to be able to love my country and still love justice." Renee Marie, with songs from the album My Black Country, next here on Kansas Public Radio's Trail Mix. My Black Country, the songs of Alice Randall, is a companion to the book by Alice Randall, a songwriter in Nashville for four decades. Her book, My Black Country, A Journey Through Country Music's Past, Present, and Future, and the songs of hers done by a whole lot of wonderful artists on this album, including Rhiannon Giddens singing the rather haunting song, The Ballad of Sally Ann, here on KPR.
Shivered as she said, "I'll love you till the day I'm dead." Johnny got married in his one good suit, but the ride from the church it bore strange fruit. Down by the road you can hear her cries, he hung from a tree, she watched him die.
lovers dance once more. Wedding bells ring in that town, a ghostly virgin strolls the ground.
From the new album, My Black Country, the songs of Alice Randall. Here on KPR, we heard the duo Sister Strings doing Girls Ride Horses 2. And we started with Rhiannon Giddens and the Ballad of Sally Ann. Other artists on this include Layla McCullough, Valerie Jean, Allison Russell, and more. We've got the new album from the Canadian duo Burnstick just ahead here on KPR. Support for Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge, located at 1809 Grand Boulevard in Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com. Well, up next, the Canadian duo Burnstick. It's a married couple, Jason Burnstick and Nadia Gaudé. Burnstick, Jason Burnstick, a member of the Plains Cree Nation, Gaudé, is both French and Métis heritage, and they perform music in three languages, English, French, and Cree. The new album from Burnstick is called Made of Sin. Let's hear two songs from that, Burnstick, on Kansas Public Radio.
So many times through the road.
the Canadian duo Burnstick here on Kansas Public Radio. Their new album called Made of Sin from Jason and Nadia Burnstick. We heard Closer and then Warrior Ride here on Kansas Public Radio's Trail Mix on this Saturday afternoon.
Next time on KPR Presents, she's been called the nation's hostess, Mrs. President, even Lady Presidentress.
First Lady is not elected. It's not a constitutional position. There is no legal authority. They get no salary. And until Rosalynn Carter, they did not even have an office space.
Diana Carlin is the author of not one, but two new books about the changing role of the First Lady. I'm Kay McIntyre. Join us for KPR Presents, 6 o'clock Sunday evening on Kansas Public Radio.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep. There are many ways to make mornings more interesting. You could set a festive new alarm ringtone. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed on purpose. Put hazelnut spread on your toast. Sing all the parts to your favorite musical in the shower. Edelweiss, Edelweiss. And after the applause dies down, you can listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition comes your way weekday mornings 5 to 9 here on Kansas Public Radio. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. I'm Bob McWilliams, and after an NPR News update, I've got the third and final hour of today's Trail Mix on the way. We're going to open up with music from Scotland from 1980 by a band called Jock Tamson Spearns, a highly esteemed and influential Scottish folk music band that grew out of the session scene in Edinburgh in the 1970s and evolved into a brilliant group in the late 70s, early 80s, making two albums and has been called a modern interpretation of authentically traditional acoustic and exclusively Scottish music. We'll hear from Jock Tamson Spearns right after the news. We'll also hear from the duo Ordinary Elephant, who will be having a concert in Lawrence this month. Singer-songwriter Jillian Matundin, and later on this hour, some terrific work from both Sarah Jarose and from Molly Tuttle here on Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Biden is ramping up his reelection campaign amid growing calls for him to withdraw his bid for reelection. Biden has been seeking to shift the narrative away from his weak debate performance against former President Donald Trump last week. NPR's Elena Moore reports Biden defended his record during an interview with ABC News yesterday.
Speaking with George Stephanopoulos of ABC News, President Biden acknowledged he was worn down ahead of the debate and it contributed to his performance.
It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
Biden went on to dismiss a question on whether he would undergo an independent medical evaluation that included a neurological and cognitive test. The president also rejected current national polls, broadly showing him trailing former President Donald Trump. The interview occurred shortly after Biden spoke with supporters in Madison, Wisconsin, where he told the crowd he had no plans to step aside. Elena Moore, NPR News, Madison, Wisconsin.
Newly elected British Prime Minister Keir Starmer held his first official news conference since taking office. Speaking in front of 10 Downing Street today, Starmer said he plans to travel to Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, and back to England before heading to the United States next week.
On Tuesday, I shall set off to Washington for the NATO summit. I've already had a number of international calls, as you will know, and as you would have expected, to establish the relations across with other countries.
The economy, Britain's healthcare system, and immigration were among the top issues among voters in Thursday's national election. Stocks on Wall Street gained ground this week amid signs of a slightly cooling job market. NPR's Scott Horsley reports that investors are betting the Federal Reserve might be ready to start cutting interest rates by the fall.
Market odds of a September rate cut increased during the week. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell told a panel discussion in Portugal he's encouraged by reports showing lower inflation in recent months. The job market has also softened somewhat. U.S. employers added 206,000 jobs in June, while the unemployment rate inched up to 4.1%. That's still a low jobless rate by historical standards, but it's the highest in more than 2.5 years. Powell and his colleagues have said any unexpected weakness in the job market would be another incentive to cut interest rates. For the week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.2%, the S&P 500 Index jumped nearly 2%, and the NASDAQ soared 3.5%. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, dedicated to improving the learning experience for America's students by sharing what works in pre-K through 12 education at edutopia.org. Let's hear some traditional music from Scotland from Jock Tamson's Bairns right now on KPR.
Asking ye would think it right to gang with me this very night. We'll cuddle till the morning light by all the leaven seen now. And ye shall be my dearie, my ain dearest dearie. It's ye shall be my dearie, can ye meet me at ten now? I can't afford my mammy gay, she locks the door and keeps the key. And in the morning charges me and I about the matter. She says there are deceivers, deceivers, deceivers. She says there are deceivers, but can you trust the end? Oh, never mind your mammy's yell, now that she met your dad herself. And gin she flight, you may her tell, she's often done the same, oh. So lassie, geesh your hand on, your bonnie milk white hand on. So lassie, geesh your hand on, and scorn to lie your lane. Oh lad, my heart I canna gie, but Eblin's I may steal the key, and meet ye at the birken tree that grows down in the glen, oh. But then I'll up and laddie, I canna promise laddie, oh then I'll up and laddie, in case I canna win. Hopes his true love there to see, and walk him trippin' orderly, but just as bonny Jean, no. And she clinked down beside him, beside him, beside him. She clinked down beside him, upon the grassy green, no. I'm overjoyed, we're after new, cried he, and plead of cherry moo. And Jeannie Nair had caused the rue that nicked upon the green, no. For she has got her Johnny, a sweet and loving Johnny, for she has got her Johnny, and Johnny's got his Gino.
A blast of tunes from Scotland, from Jock Tamson's Bairns, recorded in 1980. Here on KPR's Trail Mix, we heard Arthur Big Note of Rokrasku, Hugh MacDonald and Sandy Duff, and we started off with Jock Tamson's Bairns version of The Birken Tree. The album is called Jock Tamson's Bairns, a highly influential band from Scotland, the first of the two albums that they did to open this 3 o'clock hour of Trail Mix. In about 15 minutes, we've got the latest from Sarah Giroux here on KPR. And up next, it's the duo Ordinary Elephants. Not Ordinary Elephants, that's plural. Ordinary Elephant, just one. Ordinary Elephant, but there's two of them, Pete and Crystal D'Amore. And they're coming to Lawrence for a concert at the Vintage Church this month. That is Friday, July the 26th. We'll tell you more about that after we hear from their terrific recent release that is just called Ordinary Elephant. For you here now on Kansas Public Radio.
Dust is falling in a sunbeam, and it looks like fake snow in that Christmas snow globe at the lighthouse. Grandma always leaves out for a month or two past Mardi Gras. Everything is a beacon, a breadcrumb leading me back to a moment bookmarked in my brain, ready to be turned to and unfolded so I can tear it out and hold it right up against right in front of me. Oh, oh, oh. Been too busy comparing now to then, and too far from the end to feel the end creeping closer. But every crumpled calendar page is more than a step forward, it's a step away. And back here it's clear my path ain't pointing toward forever. Life has always been at arc, bent toward this half-century mark, leaving behind a wake of wondering where I should have been. Every one of its waves is stacking up instead of fading, so it all keeps ringing loud into the ether. Whoa. Thank you.
crows are calling, got dogs at my feet. George's not forgotten me. Gravel road crackles like static in the air. Don't know the way, but I'm getting there. There's humming in my head, melody breaking free. Joy's not forgotten me. Tonight I sway to that old time sound, in a crown of starlight and a cotton gown. I'll dance with the moon through the cracks in the clouds, sing my thanks for what I found. Sing my thanks for what I found. Spent the day stacking wood in the shade of the pines, cutting what fell and calling in mine. For the evening, and offering from the trees. George's not forgotten me. Campfire turns a song to a smile. I told him back cut straight from time. I'll tell it on the prairie. In a crown of starlight and a cotton gown, I'll dance with the moon through the cracks in the clouds. Sing my thanks for what I found. Sing my thanks for what I found. Joy is not forgotten. Tonight I swear to that old time sound, in a crown of starlight and a cotton gown. I dance with the moon through the cracks in the clouds, sing my face.